Bibles this morning. We're going to the book of Psalms. Oh, trust and obey. Because it is just one way. For there is no other way. You'll not find another way to be happy in Jesus, but unless you trust and obey. It's not just one of the ways, it is the only path to live happy in Jesus. I am firmly convinced, and you can say how you feel about it, but I believe the Word of God backs up what I'm about to say. I am firmly convinced people who do not live happy in Jesus, that profess to be believers, it is because they have not learned to trust and obey. That does not mean everything that happens in this life will be happy events. But if we can learn to be happy in the midst of it and have joy in Him, it will be because we are living in obedience unto Him. Because He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. That is the prerequisite for if you love me, you will be obedient unto what I say. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Got your Bibles? We're going to the book of Psalms, chapter number 23 this morning. Very familiar verse. Verses is what we're going to read this morning. And this week on Wednesday, we had the graveside service for Mary Jane's daughter, Deborah, and did that there, and I didn't come out of Psalms 23, but it was kind of in light of that. I began to think about this psalm, and the other morning I was down praying, and I felt it come fresh into my heart. And as a matter of fact, I did something the other day I don't do very often, but I got the opportunity the other day to preach at a youth service. And I showed up at the youth service on Friday night, and there was about as many young people as there was adults, but there was people there, and I preached out of these verses, and I just felt a fresh touch there. And I'm going to do again this morning, not preaching exactly the same message, but out of these same verses. Because, if we're not careful, how many has ever heard the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt? You ever heard that old saying? We can become so familiar with something that we just almost think, well, it's not really anything left there for me. But in fact, there is. And I'll just tell you, the Lord's ministered to my heart this week just out of this very familiar psalm. We read it a lot at funerals. And in fact, it has a lot more to do with life than it does death. And I want us to look at it this morning. Psalm 23, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Some of you probably could quote this entire chapter. And that's not something that many people can say about chapters of the Bible. But if there is a chapter in the Bible that somebody could quote, it's probably Psalm 23 because it is so familiar. I remember times in my own life, as we're getting ready to read, I do promise. But I remember times in my own life, one in particular, my dad was involved in a racing accident when I was with him at the track. It was the weekend I was supposed to graduate from high school, and my dad took a head-on collision into the wall going about 150 miles an hour. They loaded him into an ambulance, and they were talking about lifelining him. They didn't know how the extent of his injuries. My dad's back there. He had been in and out of consciousness a little bit, and I didn't know what was getting ready to happen, and I began to be fearful. I began to wonder what was getting ready to take place because I didn't want to lose my dad. And this psalm began to come to mind, and I just began to say it out loud in the ambulance. I know the ambulance driver, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I didn't really care, but I just began to say these words. I didn't scream them. I didn't yell them. I just said them. And I can tell you, they brought comfort to my heart. They brought comfort to many. But I want us to look back at them this morning. Psalm 23, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to preach to you this morning, simple title, Content in the Shepherd's Care. Content in the Shepherd's Care. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Your word is faithful. It is relevant for us today. And as we turn to these scriptures, Lord, very familiar. We hear it at funerals. We hear it at times when some have passed from this life to the next. But Lord, I'm glad to know today that you're a keeper in this life as well as in the life to come. And I pray, Lord, let us hear this afresh with a fresh ears this morning. These words are not new, but I pray that you would give them newness by the power of your Spirit and through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As you look there at Psalm 23, we find it titled as a Psalm of David. And it is perhaps one of David's most popular. It is by no means his only contribution to the book of Psalms, but it is perhaps his most popular contribution to the book of Psalms under the leading of the Spirit there. He was familiar with the relationship between sheep and their shepherd because, as we studied on Wednesday night, David was in fact a shepherd before he was ever a king. He knew what it was to have a relationship with sheep and to lead them and to guide them and provide for them. You know, here David views himself as one of the sheep under the watchful eye of the heavenly shepherd. This is the song of one sheep about the good shepherd, if you will. As we read this psalm, we see the personal pronouns that are littered throughout this chapter, or this Psalm 23, in these only six verses, but it's littered with personal pronouns. My, I, me, my. This is the testimony of a well-cared-for sheep, if you would. One that is in the pasture talking about his shepherd. But this sheep is not the main subject. Oh, the main subject of this chapter is the shepherd. Oh, David says and declares the shepherd to be the Lord, the covenant-keeping God there in verse number 1 and verse number 6. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He closes it out there in verse number 6, he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because he said that the Lord was his shepherd. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd. But right here in Psalm chapter number 23, oh, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. How many are glad this morning that you can say, not only is he a good shepherd, not only is he a great shepherd, not only is he the Chief Shepherd, but he is my shepherd, because I walk with him and I've heard his voice, and he knows who I am. I am grateful to be able to say he is my shepherd. Oh, because he is mine and I am his. Then David, like him, we can cry out and say that we can be content in his care. Or as David said it here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because if you have the care of the shepherd, what more could we ask for? But yet, how many hearts are there that ask for more than what the shepherd provides? And I just simply, I went a little different direction the other night with this, but I thought about this as I was going through it. I said, Lord, teach us to be content with what you as our shepherd has provided, whether the path or the provision or the power or lack thereof that you have provided and allowed in our life. Teach us to be content in the care of the good shepherd. Oh, I want to use this phrase, I shall not want, and give you some reasons to be content in the shepherd's care this morning. First of all, if I was preaching both services today, I'd preach this in two separate services. But since I'm only preaching this morning, I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to leave you a little bit of homework, okay? But let's look. First of all, I shall not want because he gives me rest. You know what David says there in verse number 2 after he says, I shall not want? He said, because he maketh me to lie down. That is an important phrase, one in which David would have been familiar, because sheep are naturally nervous animals and do not like to lie down easily. Oh, any little disturbance will keep a sheep from lying down in peace. But rather, they are naturally nervous animals. Oh, is it any wonder that we're so compared to sheep in the scriptures? Oh, we wish we were called lions or maybe bears, but he doesn't call us that. He calls us sheep because, like the sheep, we are naturally nervous animals. Oh, some people more so than others. Some people just seem to exude self-confidence and nothing seems to shake them. But for the most part, we tend to have things that make us nervous. Oh, but David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and he maketh me to lie down," or he gives me rest. Philip Keller was a shepherd by trade, and he wrote a book. I encourage you to read it sometime. It's entitled A Shepherd's Look at the Psalm 23. In it, he said this about sheep. He said there's four conditions that must be met in order for the sheep to be content and lie down. He said, first of all, they will not lie down if they are afraid. Second of all, they will not lie down if there is friction between them and other sheep. If there is conflict between them, one part of the fold and another. They will not lie down if flies and parasites are bothering them. And finally, they will not lie down if they are hungry and have not been properly fed. The rest only comes when the shepherd takes care of the fear, the friction, the flies, and the famine. You know what David says here? He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." He's taking care of my fear. He's taking care of the insects that bother. He's taking care of the friction. Oh, you know why the New Testament is littered with the idea of love one another? Because the good shepherd knows that we will not be at rest when there is conflict between us and another sheep of the pasture. But rather, the good shepherd has taken care to make us one with another, so that we can love each other and we can be at rest in the shepherd's care. Oh, God, help us. Oh, we can rest in the care of the good shepherd because he has made provision for us to find rest even in spite of the difficulties that may come across our path. I shall not want because he hath made me to rest. Second of all, I shall not want because he feeds me. Oh, you know, in our culture, we don't think of that as very important because, you know, most of us, we've been well provided for. Some better than others. I understand that. But in our culture, we don't think of going without meals. We don't, unless we choose to do so, because we have been well provided for. But you know something about sheep? If you don't lead them to food, they will die. They are completely dependent upon somebody showing them how to get to fresh food. Oh, he says, oh, first of all, he tells us what he feeds us. He says there he makes us to lie down where? In green pastures. This is what he feeds us, the green pastures. Sheep are known to so thoroughly devour and trample pasture land that it will never regrow, or it will take years for it to regrow. In fact, you can study the history of the American West, and there was great conflicts between those who were sheep herders or shepherds and those who were cattle herders. Why was the conflict? Because if a sheep herder took his herd of sheep through the cattle pasture, oh, when they got done, there wouldn't be nothing left but sprigs. There would be nothing left for the cattle to eat, because cattle will not eat down the grass to the dirt, but sheep will. And you know something? They're not the brightest animals in the world. They will eat it down to nothing. And if you do not have some other pasture to lead them to, a sheep will sit there and starve to death because they are malnourished and they don't know how to find their next place of pasture. Isn't it amazing that David compares himself to a sheep? He said, I look at this. He said, Lord, without you feeding me, without you leading me to the place of fresh pasture, I would starve to death. Oh, my soul would be malnourished. Oh, but he said, I'm so glad for the shepherd that he always leads me to green pastures and places for me to partake of his goodness. Oh, what are the green pastures, you ask, that the good shepherd leads his beloved sheep to? I believe it like this: the green pastures of his word. Oh, the green pastures of his word. Aren't you glad that when we go to the word of God, there is always more sustenance? What we saw yesterday and partook of, there's more for the next day and more for the next, because he always has green pastures of his word and of his truth to feed our souls on. We need not turn in fear, but we can trust in the shepherd. Rather, as the world surrounds and the enemy snarls, our Lord, oh, he leads us into green pastures. Oh, we never need fear biting the bare ground, because he leads us into the evergreen pasture of his soul nourishing word. Oh, that is what he leads us into. Oh, how he feeds us, if you will. But notice where he feeds us. Verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. Let me tell you something about our shepherd. There is no such thing as wartime rations. Oh, he isn't passing out ration cards when the enemy surrounds us. Oh, but we get the picture there in verse number 5. Enemies on every side. Maybe perhaps the wolf snarling, the lion lurking. Oh, but while they are doing so, our God is preparing a table. Where does he prepare the table? Right in the presence of our enemies. Because our shepherd will feed our souls and he will not leave us lacking. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Oh, he leads us through green pastures. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he makes sure that our souls are kept. You know what? In the word of God, Jesus warned about grievous wolves. Oh, about roaring lions. And even while they look on, however, Jesus said these words in John chapter 10 and verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, yes. Through him we find pasture. We find those green meadows that will forever keep our souls fed and satisfied. We need not be discontent today. We need not fear the enemy, but rather we can know that he has provided for us, oh, the green pastures, and also in the presence of our enemies. Third thing, I shall not want because he leads me. Two times David says in the psalm, he leadeth me. First of all, he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Leadeth carries the idea, that word carries the idea of a continual action. Besides food, a sheep is also in need of a steady source of fresh water. Unfortunately, if left to their own, most sheep would do one of two things. They would either thirst to death or they would drown when they found water. Oh, yeah. You read Philip Keller's account of him being, I think it was in the Scottish Highlands, he was a shepherd growing up. It was the family business. He said it was not uncommon for a sheep to get severely dehydrated if they were not led properly to water. He said, but it was also not uncommon when they would go down there into that brook and they would find a swift moving river. Oh, they would wade out into the water and begin to drink. And the more they drank, the further they would go into the water. Their wool would get weighted down by that water and they'd get swept down the stream and they would die in the water. But you know what David says? He said, a good shepherd knows how to do. He leads them beside still waters or gentle streams. Oh, he doesn't lead them into raging rivers. Oh, he does not lead them into places they will drown, but rather he leads them to a place that they're thirsty. Oh, inner being can be nourished, and so that they will be safe in him. if the green pastures in my mind stand for the word of God. Oh, that brook that flows stands for the Spirit of God. Oh, that ever flows. Oh, not there to drown us, not there to do away with us, but there to be an ever steady source. The Good Shepherd leads us to that fountain of living water that springs up. The Good Shepherd even said that when I am in you and my Spirit is in you, he said, you shall have in you rivers of living water that spring up, that flow out of you unto eternal life. I say, God, let it be. It's not by accident that in the very next words of David, after he says that he leads beside still waters, he said he restores my soul. Oh, yes, he will lead us by the still waters and restore our soul. Not only does he lead beside the still waters, but he leads in paths of righteousness. He doesn't drive. You drive cattle, but you lead sheep. He said he leads us in the paths of righteousness. What are the paths of righteousness? They are ways or paths that please God. How many believe that left to your own devices, you could find a way to please God by yourself? I hope nobody in this room. Because if you think left to your own devices and by your own power you can please God, you are sadly mistaken. But you know what the scriptures promise us? That he will lead us in ways that please him. He will lead us in ways that please him. All we got to do is learn to listen to his voice. And when he speaks, we obey. Trust and obey. We're back there again. Oh, how many sheep of his pasture want to please the Good Shepherd today? No one? I want to please him. I hope you do. And can I tell you, if you want to please him, he will lead you in the way that pleases him. Let me just read a few verses of scripture to you. I'm moving on along. I know some people got lunch on their mind, but can we get the word of God on our mind? I've just been preaching a few minutes. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. That's what he said there. He said, you'll show me the path of life. Aren't you glad he's the one that shows it to us? Psalm 25 and 4, show me thy way, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Psalm 25 and 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keepeth his covenant and his testimonies. Chapter 27, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. We, like sheep, must be led. And when we are led by him, he'll lead us in a plain path because we have enemies that would love to destroy. But he said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Number four, I shall not want because he never leaves me. You know one thing I am so grateful for? That when the fear comes, when the enemy arises, he never tucks tail and runs the other way. The shepherd never turns and runs away. Oh, he said he will not leave when death casts its shadow. Oh, the test of a true shepherd is when the going gets tough and the flock is threatened. Jesus spoke about these kinds of shepherds that flee away in John chapter 10 and verse number 12. He said, but he that is a hireling. The idea of a hireling is a hired hand that's bought on. They're not really a shepherd, but there's somebody just fulfilling the role because they're there to get a paycheck, if you would. Can I put it that way this morning? He said, and they're not the true shepherd whose own sheep they're not. They don't own the sheep. So when they see the wolf coming, they leave the sheep and flee away. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Oh, but aren't you glad he does not stop there? But he goes on to say this about himself, John 10 and 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. Oh, hallelujah. He said, even when death, that great enemy of all mankind, broaches the pathway, we need not fear that Jesus will run away, that he will leave us there to face it alone. But those that are the sheep of his pasture can rest assured, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil because thou art with me. One of man's greatest enemies, as I said, was death. But the good shepherd didn't forsake us to the clutches of death, but rather he walked through death for us. Aren't you glad? I love what David says there. He does not say simply that we, yea, though I walk through death, or yea, though this life ends in death. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Can I tell you? In Jesus Christ, he faced the substance of death. The only thing we have to stand in is the shadow of it, because he destroyed death. He destroyed death. So as long as we are following after the good shepherd, we need not fear, because he is with us and he has overcome death. Even the great enemy called death, he has overcome it. Oh, we need not fear. Oh, when evil lurks, we need not fear. David broadens his subject beyond death and says, I will fear no evil. There is nothing that is evil that I need to fear. No matter what evil lurks, we need not fear. No fear in life, nor dread in death, because thou art with me. Oh, hallelujah. Number five, I shall not want, because he protects and he corrects. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, some people believe this was two separate instruments, and in many cases it was. But for shepherds, sometimes they would only have one instrument. It would be a staff. And on one end it was straight, and they could wield it like a weapon, so that when the wolf came, or when the predator came and tried to take away one of the sheep, he could wield it as a weapon to fight against the predator that was coming in. But on the other end, or if you believe it was a separate weapon, it does, or a separate instrument, it doesn't really matter. Oh, there was a crook on the other end, the shepherd's crook. This wasn't used to fight off enemies. It was used when the sheep strayed away and they got in a place that was hard to reach. That shepherd could reach out the crook of that staff, and he could wrap it around the neck of that sheep and pull it back to safety. Aren't you glad that the good shepherd knows how to protect us, but he also knows when to correct us? He knows which end of the staff, which instrument to use, because against his enemies, he fights and gives victory. But for his sheep, he corrects and keeps us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you know what? We can trust him and be content, because he knows which side to use, because he knows his enemies, but he also knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Don't feel like God's pulled out the rod on you and he's trying to destroy you. Oh, know this, he's pulling out the staff and he's trying to pull you back into line. Despise thou not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens. That's what the word of God says. He pulls out the staff, wraps it around our neck at times, and pulls us back to the fold. He protects and he corrects. And that should bring us a world of comfort. David said, when I think of how he does it, how he defends me from my enemies, oh, but he keeps me in the paths that please him. He said, it brings comfort. Oh, they comfort me. Oh, I move on. Number six, I shall not want, because he anoints me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Something about sheep you may not know, I may have mentioned it before, I don't know, but is that they are prone to be bothered by insects and parasites, especially around their eyes. I never had sheep growing up. My dad owned cattle. And we had this liniment that we would put on the cattle. We put it across this stretched out piece of cloth, and it had little tatters of cloth hanging down. We'd pour that liniment down on it. And you would herd the cattle underneath that. And what it would do, it would keep away the flies, the insects, and the parasites so that the cows weren't bothered by them. Because I know with cows, when they're bothered by insects, they won't eat properly. They won't produce properly. Oh, there's a lot of things that will affect them, especially with sheep is the same way. But in that day, they didn't have many of the specialized medicines that we have, but they had olive oil and they had special spices. And a good shepherd in the summer months, when the parasites and the insects were the greatest, he would bring every one of his sheep over and he would pour that oil over that sheep's head to keep away the flies and the insects, so that sheep could live as a productive life as it possibly could. Can I tell you something? If the enemy can't rip us limb from limb, you know what he'll do? He'll annoy us to death with all the little things. He'll bring against us every little hindrance, every little opposition. But can I tell you, the good shepherd knows not only how to defend from the wolf, but he also knows how to defend from the pest and the parasite. He said, I'll pour the oil over top of you. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oh, hallelujah. But aren't you glad he doesn't just give just enough? Have you ever met somebody that if you borrowed, if they paid something for you, $1.56, or they you paid something like that for them? Say, for example, you paid $1.56 for them and they come back to repay you. You know, if it was me, I'm going to reach into my wallet most of the time. I'm going to pull out $2, keep the change. I ain't worried about it. But I know some people, they're going to give you $1.56. And they're going to do everything they can to find the exact change because they ain't given none above what was given to them. That's just the way they are. They're frugal. Some people just, that's the way they are. But aren't you glad the shepherd isn't like that? He doesn't just dab the top of the head. But he said, thou anointest my head with oil, and when you do it, my cup runs over. I think about old Aaron there as he's getting ready to be anointed as the first high priest over Israel. And the Bible said that Moses went there and he took that precious ointment that was not to be put upon any normal man's flesh, but only upon certain instances. And he took that oil, he upended the bottle, if you would, and he said it ran down onto his head, it ran down to his beard, and it dripped down onto his garments. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Oh, I shall not want, because he anoints me. And when he anoints me, he does so liberally, keeping away all of these pests and parasites. Number 7, I shall not want because his goodness and mercy pursues me. I mentioned it already. Sheep are by nature paranoid animals. If you've ever seen videos of them, unless they are completely comfortable, they're always walking in circles. They eat a little bit, walk in a circle. They're looking around them. Oh, but let me tell you something, for us as the sheep of his pasture, when we look behind us, we don't see the littered and the ruined remains of all the enemy has done. You know what we see behind us? The goodness and the mercy of the Lord. Yes, the enemy may be pursuing us, but even more faithful than the enemy is the goodness and the mercy of God. I look behind me, I see his goodness and mercy. I look ahead of me and I see the good shepherd. Right beside me, I have his rod and his staff. What have I to fear? What have I to fear? Oh, his goodness and his mercy. He said, followeth after me all the days of my life. That word followeth after means to pursue hard after. Oh, aren't you glad that his goodness? How far do you have to look back to see his goodness and mercy? You have to look back 10 years to find it. I hope you can look back to this morning, maybe during that Sunday school lesson, and you heard something that you've heard 100 times, but it touched your heart in a fresh way, and you can say, that's the goodness of God right there. Maybe it was this morning you got up and you put your feet down on the floor and you said, oh God, you've given me another day. That's the goodness of God. It ain't 10 years behind us, but it's following hard on our heels. The goodness and the mercy of a God that does not fail. Oh, hallelujah. Final thing, I shall not want because I dwell with him forever. That's how he ends it. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. I want my wife to make her way to the piano if she can this morning. I thought about old Mephibosheth. Remember him? 2 Samuel chapter 4, I believe it is. First of all, he's mentioned. His real story comes up in chapter 9. You know what? He was an enemy of the king in all rights. He was of the house of Saul, and now David is in power. And they have been warring back and forth for many years. And you know what? I believe Mephibosheth, there he was. He was not only an enemy of the king, but also he had a physical impairment. He was lame in both of his feet because his nursemaid had dropped him when she was fleeing. And he was now completely lame in both feet, not able to walk. So not only was he an enemy, but also he had an impairment. And maybe perhaps through the conflict, I believe it was, 7 years of conflict that raged, between the house of Saul and the house of David. I wondered how many times he thought about, this conflict's going to catch up with me one day. The king's going to find me one day. And that day finally came. And here comes the messenger knocking on the door. Mephibosheth, the king wants to see you, son. And I can imagine the dread that would have went through his heart, because I am an enemy of that king. My house has been in rebellion against him for many years. Oh, how is he going to treat me? Maybe they carried him in, rolled him in, however they did it. But this lame boy comes before the presence of David. The Bible says that he fell down before him. And he said, what shall the king do unto me? I am as a dead dog. That's the language he used, not me. That's King James anyway. He's there before the king. And I imagine all of these possibilities are going through his mind. What is the king going to do? But I also wonder what went through his mind when he heard the king say this, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. I have given unto thy master's son, or unto Mephibosheth, all that pertaineth to Saul and unto all his house. Wait a second, I'm an enemy. He's given me all the master's house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. And then verse 11, he says, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table and be as one of the king's sons. Oh, anybody ever felt like that? Fall down on your face before, but say, what can God do for me? And he says, I'm going to invite you into the house. I'm going to give you a place at the table. Let me tell you something. Mephibosheth had an ailment. He had a problem. But when he pulled up underneath the table, his ailment was covered up. Nobody could see those lame legs anymore, because he was at the king's table. So David closes Psalm 23 and he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm not a hired servant that he's just going to prepare a meal for and send me back to the servants' quarters. I am one of the king's sons. He invites me to the table and says, as long as you live and trust in me, you can have a seat at the table. Let's stand this morning. How many are glad to be able to say, that's my shepherd? Oh, he's a good shepherd. I can tell you that this morning. He's even a great shepherd. There's no shepherd like him. We could say he's the chief shepherd. But oh, I'm glad to say he's my shepherd. Woo, hallelujah. I'm glad to say he's my shepherd. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Oh, can you exclaim like David this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Are you content in the care of the shepherd this morning? Or is your eyes pulled somewhere else? Oh, no, no, no. Look behind you and see his goodness and mercy pursuing you all the days of your life. Look ahead of you and see his tender care leading even through death. Look near you and find his rod and his staff that will comfort you and be a very present help in the time of need. Oh, we need not be dejected. We need not be in want today because we have everything. Some say, I want the green pastures. I want the still waters. Can I tell you, don't look for the green pastures. Don't seek the still waters. Find the shepherd. Because as long as you find the shepherd, you will find the green pastures and the still waters. Because where he is, his fullness dwells. Oh, hallelujah. I want us to find a place to pray this morning, if we would. Everyone under the sound of my voice, let's find a place to pray. If nothing else, let's just exclaim like David and say that the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. He is mine and I am his. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd.